We're recording.
All right.
Yep. There you go. Okay. Well.
I'm going to breathe over here.
That's good, because we're both sniffly. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. This is Ian. And today I have my quick-thinking, storytelling mastermind of a wife, Julia.
Hello, everyone.
With me on this episode of the podcast. We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us here at the table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our overly considered thoughts, all in an attempt to give you a great idea of how well it'll fit for your table. Today we're reviewing Tales of Arabian Nights, which is designed by Eric Goldberg and published by Z-Man Games.
In Tales of the Arabian Nights, you are the hero or heroine in a story of adventure and wonder just like those told by Shahrazad to her spellbound sultan. You will travel the land seeking your own destiny and fortune. You will learn stories and gain wisdom to share with others. Will you be the first to fulfill your destiny? The next tale is yours to tell. There is, of course, a winner in Tales of the Arabian Nights, but the point of the game is less to see who wins and more to enjoy the unfolding and telling of a great story.
Boom. Well, that was well said.
Thank you.
That is literally from what the box says this game is about, and so we took that right from that because it's very well done, and I didn't know what else to say. So, so welcome to the podcast, Julia, for a second time.
Yay! Happy to be here.
We are, we're both sick. So.
A little under the weather, so excuse our nasally voices.
Yeah, it's okay. I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Well, thanks, babe.
So, yeah, this is a 2-6 player story game, really. I don't even know if it's really a game. It's just a massive story. So it's phenomenal. But yes, we'll get into a couple details here. So the Tales of the Arabian Nights, this is the game. Now, with that, I'll get to this later. There is a new themed game version of this. This game came out in 2009 from Z-Man Games. And it has a multiple designers, but Eric Goldberg is the one that's on the box. On top of that, the artists are Peter Gifford and Dan Harding. So, with all that, what, as far as Julia, what do you have an experience with the Tales of the Arabian Nights? Because I don't.
Like the book?
Yeah, I never had any experience with it. I've heard of it, but I never, like, anyway, what was your experience as a kid or whatever?
I have never read it personally. I did own a copy, like a nice hardbound copy from Barnes & Noble. If you know, like the Barnes & Noble classic editions that are like really beautiful. And I collected those for a while. And so I had a copy just because it was pretty. But then I lent it to someone and she lost it and never gave it back to me. And I've tried to find it, but it has never come back to me. So I have a little bit of sadness about Tales of the Arabian Nights because I want my copy back. And if you know who you are, give me my copy of this book back. My only other experience is that when we were growing up, my brother was reading it for school, I think, and we got a new dog and he named our dog Shahrazad and we called her Shara. And I don't know why or how, but I knew that the main character's name is Shahrazad. And, well, do you know the story of Tales of Arabian Nights?
No, see, I don't even, I mean, no, not exactly.
Okay.
I'm not.
From what I understand it, and I have not done any preparation on this ahead of time, so this is literally off the top of my head.
There you go.
But this woman named Shahrazad is like, I don't know if she's kidnapped or like stolen somehow by this evil sultan. And basically he's going to kill her. But to prolong her life, she basically keeps him from killing her by telling him stories. And she keeps the story going every night for 1,000 nights because he doesn't want to kill her because he wants to know what happens next. So every night he'll bring her out to like kill her, but then she'll keep telling this story. And then he like is like, oh, I can't kill you. Like, I need to know what happens next.
Ah.
And so it's, I don't remember how the story ends, but it's the Tale of Arabian Nights is like 1,000 nights that she tells this story. So that's all the knowledge I have
okay.
about Arabian Nights.
Well, I don't have any. I have no stories. But do you have any? Did you have a Choose Your Own Adventure book?
I think I probably did at some point. Honestly, my deepest memory of a Choose Your Own Adventure is that movie called Clue.
Yes.
Where it's basically another board game tie-in. It's the movie about the board game Clue. And at the end, you get to choose what ending you want to have.
Yeah.
Like who you want to have done it. So that was fun.
Yeah, we had, as far as Choose Your Own Adventure, we didn't, there was a couple books potentially. I don't really remember them, but there was, yes, there was a Clue game. It was the, there was a DVD Clue game. And so you'd pop the disc in, but they like every time you opened a door or something, like you would be able to pick, you know, kind of whatever. It's not really Choose Your Own Adventure because I don't, we just don't have that much. But this game is Choose Your Own Adventure. You get to do whatever you want. And the world is your oyster. And yeah, so let me explain real quick how this game is played. In Tales of Arabian Nights, you become a character in a story, and you, again, that story is your own. The players will attempt to gain a certain amount of destiny and story points to win. These goals are picked by each player, but normally it's like 10 of each, 10 story, 10 destiny. Player will start in Baghdad, which this game has mostly like Europe to Asia to Africa. It has a very large board, but you start in Baghdad. Start on a quest. They're given a quest to start, and you can gain more quests as the game goes on, but that kind of gives them a general direction to start out. On a player's turn, they'll move, and depending on how rich you are, I guess more camels that you can have or more ships. If you're wealthier, you get to move more. So if the richer you are, the more you're able to move, especially overseas. So you'll have a predetermined, if you're like, you start out at a certain wealth level, but you'll get to move like a couple by land and a couple by sea. And so depending on how, you know, looking at the board, you can look at if you're moving by water or moving by land, and so then you'll move. Once you end your movement, you'll have an encounter. The encounter card is drawn, and each encounter will have different type of characters, locations, maybe serpents or a witch or a hag or a thief, all these very well-drawn characters that are on the cards or cities, and you'll have an encounter. So when you have this encounter, it'll have a number on it. That number will refer a different player that's not. So if it's my turn, somebody else will be reading and looking for this number inside the Book of Tales, which this Book of Tales is everything. The Book of Tales is how the game develops and progresses and how the stories are read, and all this fabulous storytelling is all comes from this Book of Tales. They'll look at the number that the card refers to, and it'll refer you to a type of like thief or city. So let's say, as an example, it told the player to my right to read paragraph, 26 or whatever. So it'll go to player, they'll flip through the book and they'll go to 26, and it'll say a blind beggar. So a blind beggar is who I have an interaction with. Once I know what I'm interacting with, the player will tell me what matrix I look at. So what I'll do is I'll look at this matrix, and this matrix will usually tell me what kind of interaction that I'll have and what my options are for interacting with this character. I'll choose a reaction. So a reaction can come in many different ways, but the player gets to pick. That player gets to pick what he wants to do with this blind beggar. So let's say I want to attack him or rob him, or I could pray for him, or I could abduct him, or I could question him, or I could help him, or I could hire him. These are all options, and there's a ton of options. These are just a couple of examples, but I get to pick one. And so I choose one, and the player will then look at that response, and it'll refer them to a different page that they have to flip through in the Book of Tales, and they'll read this story that happens from the book based off the reaction that I chose. Some examples of these stories is that the beggar comes to you wanting help, and you hire him. And so you send him on an adventure, and he brings you back many riches and glory.
Or he backstabs you and takes everything you have,
yep.
Even though you were a good-willed man trying to hire a poor, poor man.
Exactly.
You just never know. You never really know how it's going to turn out. You just have to make either an educated guess or a wildly out-of-pocket guess. And
exactly.
Just go for what your heart tells you. And it's pretty fun.
Yep. And so the book will then tell you the rewards that you get. You'll get some destiny or story. And again, that's how you win. Players will continue to do these encounters until they have enough story slash destiny to win. Once they do that, they'll return to Baghdad, and then they'll win the game on the next turn. And that player will be crowned the Great Arabian Knight.
Will they really?
I don't know. Maybe. But
did you just make that up?
I did.
Oh, okay. Well, this isn't the different kind of knight. It's not an Arabian Knight.
I know. No, it's a play on words.
Okay.
They'll be the Arabian Knight of the Arabian Knights. So that's how this game's played, and I skipped over, obviously, a couple of different things, but looking at this game, it is all story-based, and it's all based off like how you get to create your own story. And so on your turn, like I said, you'll flip a card, and it'll just say what you're interacting with, and then from there, you get to pick whatever you want. And the cool thing, as the game goes on, you'll be gathering traits and weapons and statuses, and like you become a vizier or blessed, and you get a giant diamond or a fancy ring or something. And you also get traits or skills throughout the game, like you become good at magic, or you gain acting in disguise, or you become
a master of magic
and quick thinking.
My favorite is becoming a master of seduction.
Yeah.
That one comes in handy a lot.
Seduction is always the one that I feel like people go for.
Because it works in a variety of situations.
It does. It is. Seduction bodes well. It bodes well for people. But with all that, I will say there's been so many experiences in this game. And that's what this game is. It's an experience more than anything. The gameplay itself is you're just kind of moving around the board and just flipping a card and seeing what happens, and then you get to react to the thing that happens. But there's not like I don't know if I've ever won this game, because
is there ever really a winner?
Right.
I don't
exactly
know.
So like I said,
I can't ever recall one of us having won or lost. Well,
I think you win most of the time.
I mean,
by winning,
I don't know that it really, because winning, the game itself is very complicated to play, but winning is pretty simple. You just need to accumulate 20 story and destiny points, and then you can win. And then you have to return to Baghdad. Is that the
right
key?
So you get, at the beginning of the game, you get to pick, it's a total of 20 destiny / story. Most people pick 10 and 10, but you could pick like 20 destiny and zero story.
So you have to choose how many you
yes,
want?
Yes, you do. Oh, okay. It at the beginning, yeah. And so
we didn't do that.
Well, we just did the basic. It said recommended you just do 10 and 10. Okay. But you can pick. So anyway, most people, they just do 10 and 10, but you're welcome to do whatever.
If you really think you've got a lot of destiny in
right.
you, I guess you could.
It's very random. There's like no predicting anything that happens in this game.
Well,
you can't be like, "Oh, I know I'm going to become rich." Like
even in the like story portions, when you're taking your turn and you encounter something, and you're like, oh, I'm encountering this thing, I don't know, a creature or a beggar, you think that there's an appropriate response for that thing. And so if you try to like play by society's like, I'm going to be kind to this beggar, or I'm going to fight this creature, doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes the right decision is to rob the blind woman on the street. Like sometimes being a terrible person works in this game. And it does not always pay to be a good person. And so it is really just about the fun of just kind of spending a lot of time with the people that you're playing with, and just kind of being able to laugh at yourself and get out of these kind of crazy situations.
Yeah.
Like Ian was saying, you gain different types of like status. And so you can be blessed, you can be respected, and those gives you kind of advantages when you're playing. Or you can like become insane or ensorcelled. That's my favorite one. I've never even heard that word before, but ensorcelled is a status you can have, and it can make things really, really difficult. Ian and I played kind of a half game right before recording this, and right before we quit, I gained the status of beast form. So basically, I got turned into a donkey.
Yep.
And my power of I'm a master in seduction, and it got taken away from me. Because now I'm a donkey.
You're a donkey.
I forgot it. What did I even do? I just like avoided a serpent or something, yeah, and something terrible happened.
Yeah, it was a creature that you found, and so
it's really hard to have any kind of strategy.
It ended so poorly,
and I'm glad that I was just like, yeah, I think we're done. I think I'm done playing this game because I really didn't want to have to deal with being in my beast mode.
Your beast form.
My beast form.
Your donkey beast form.
Yeah, it said that I turned into a donkey, so that was very disappointing. But
this game, yeah, and so really, this is a little different review for this two top review. And just because, like, we can say a bunch of good things about this game and bad things. It, again, it's more of a story than a game.
I love it. I just want to make that very clear.
It has game pieces in it. Let's just dive into that real quick. So as far as like game stuff, for me, I'll go first and then you follow. So for this game, what this game does well, I think it has a very good balance of mechanics and choices for players. So like I said, you're able to, before the game even starts, you get to select some traits that you're good at. So you can pick some, like, you know, seduction and quick thinking and magic, and you put these things onto your next to your board, and those are, you know, a couple things that you're good at, and so you have abilities to and ways to kind of choose your, you know, how to develop a character, kind of role play a little bit, and so that's really good. And then you also get to choose, you know, what quests you kind of want to do. So you know as the game goes on, you get some other cards that you want to do and you know, places that you want to go, and you don't have to go to those places, but you get to choose, and so the game allows you to choose and go different places. What the game's not good at is that there is no way of knowing who actually wins this game. It's not like, oh, you played better than me. There's nothing that prevents or keeps
a
player.
If you play a great game and get ensorcelled, you're screwed. Like, yeah. There's no right. skill that can combat that.
Yeah, there's no, honestly, there's not really much skill like in the game other than like maybe the more you know about how the book plays, like maybe you can predict what a good like answers are to certain things. But like that kind of defeats the purpose of it all. It's like you kind of want to react to what's happening and have it let the randomness hit you and let those stories be new to you. I don't want to just, oh, I know what's going to happen with a story, so I'm going to pick that one. I want a new story every time. And so that's what this game does, is like it allows players to do something new every single time, because every single decision, it goes to a different paragraph in this massive book. This book is absolutely huge, and there's so many numbers in there. I think there's like 2,000 to 3,000 different like stories. And so you'll hardly ever get the same one in different games, like ever, unless you're like, sometimes you get imprisoned or something like that, where you kind of have to go through the same couple things to get out of prison. So that's the same there. But in general, you're never seeing the same story twice. So as far as that goes, like that's what the game does. What the game doesn't do, there's no way of knowing who wins. There's no way of like planning a strategy. Like, it's not a game for that. And so as far as saying the goods and the bad, like that's about all I'm going to say, because it's just not like a normal game. Like, this game is meant to be a story, be an experience, and that's kind of how it is designed to be. It's not meant to be something that you critically think for 3 hours. Like, this is a good experience around the table, and you just let the stories hit you and you choose your own adventure. And honestly, like, the timer mechanism of this game is when somebody gets the you know, their point. And that's usually a couple hours. This game can be a couple hours long, especially if you play a full game. And if you play with more than 3 people, honestly, I would never play this game with more than 4 people. I've played it with more than that, and it was terrible. It's just so long. It was like 3 hours. It's a long game when you play. And maybe we should have just shortened how many like points we needed, but it was just too much. So I wouldn't play with that many, but 2 to 4, excellent. Excellent game, a great experience. You might as well just, you know, get some drinks or coffee or whatever and just sit around and honestly laugh like for most of the time, because the stories are just so, like, they're just so crazy. Do you have one in mind, like one that's happened to you? Because it's like, I remember one. Well, do you have one?
I don't have a plethora, but I do I did want to touch on this at some point, so I guess I'll just touch on it now. Yeah. Is there was one time that we confirmed that you can die in this game. We like weren't sure if any of the outcomes would ever be that you would just die. We were like, surely that can't. Like, and so we had played it multiple times, and it had never been an outcome where it's like, oh shoot, like something always saves you, or you're able to get by with like diseased or injured or something.
Right.
And there was one time, was it you or me?
It was probably me.
I think it was you.
Bad stuff
and it was like, you
game.
Fall into the river and you drown. Your turn is over. You are dead. And there was no redeeming it. It was just like, nope. Game over.
Yeah,
you're done. And I think we both just sat there in shock, like looking at each other, because it was just like, what do we do? Like, it's just over. And it just surprised both of us so much. And it was so funny. Yeah. And it's just like, honestly, I love that. Like, I love that that's just like an outcome that you can have, that you can just like die.
Yep, you died.
Like, you
it's like Oregon Trail.
Yeah,
you died.
Like, I think it's pretty rare. Like, it doesn't happen a lot. Like, it's only happened that one time.
That's the only time it's ever happened.
That experience makes me laugh whenever I think about it. Because it's like, you were reading it. Or maybe I was reading it. And
I think you were reading
it. And it's like, you fall in the water and drown. You are dead.
Yep.
Like, and it's just like, wait, what?
Yeah, I died. And it was me. No, I definitely, because I suck at this game. I'm so bad.
I don't
bad.
Think there's a way to suck at this
well,
game, though.
This game knows it just... Because I think, I don't know, I just lose. I never, ever, I'm like last on the everything. Story, wealth, destiny, all of it. I'm a beggar, I'm in sore souls,
I'm
in prison.
You're so beating me on wealth, though, on this game.
Yeah, but we didn't play the full game, though. I would have lost, I would have become completely a beggar, and we would have been. It would have been over. I would have been imprisoned or something. For some reason,
so negative.
I think it's hilarious because like I'm the true gamer playing the game, and then the game knows that. So that's just always how it goes. It's hilarious, and I love it. I do thoroughly enjoy this game. And so a couple of locations. So there's like cities on the map that have numbers on them, and that's all helped to like create the randomness and stuff. But there's also like special locations. So, like, there's the Cave of Wonders that you can find. And these are, like, again, what's the other one? There's Stonehenge.
Valley of Diamonds.
Yeah, Valley of Diamonds.
And then there's, like, a Rainbow Island or something.
Yeah.
Their computer's covering it up on the map, but...
So, these are all stories. I mean, I guess these are locations from the Tales.
I don't know.
But
again,
because,
I haven't read them.
We're not super familiar. We just play the game. But...
And watched Aladdin.
Yeah,
growing up.
Aladdin. I know the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin. So, and I did find the Cave of Wonders once. So it is an incredibly hard thing to do. And again, this fully randomness. But you'd have to flip a card that is for the Cave of Wonders. And I flipped it, and I was in the correct location, and so I was able to go to the Cave of Wonders, and I found like a genie lamp, and oh my God, it was one of the best experiences ever. I was like Aladdin. I dove into the cave. And I had the right traits, and I swept up and got the magic carpet and the genie lamp. And
it did something really cool for you. I forget. What
yeah, you got like five of everything.
Very beneficial.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was one of the best experiences ever. But completely, completely random. Like,
yeah.
It's not like I did anything up to that to put myself in a position to do that. So, again, this game just creates so many opportunities for randomness, and so that can be a bad thing, you know, if you're never getting anything good, but then it could be just this magical, amazing moment.
I mean, it's kind of like life, though. You get to make certain decisions, and other things just happen to you.
That's true.
And you just have to kind of roll with it.
How profound is that?
I'm a psychology major.
Yeah, so... It definitely helps, and yeah, so there's a lot to explore in this game, and I don't want to spoil anything with any of that, because there's just so much. As far as, yeah, I feel like the experience for me was the Cave of Wonders it was just so good. So good.
You've really had the full gamut of, like, negative experiences.
Yeah,
and
negative
positive.
And positive. Yeah, negative and positive. Julia, what do you, as far as this game... Either the positive and negatives, but just tell me, like, overall, like, how do you view this game? What do you like about it? What makes you want to play it again, and all that?
Well, as I don't want to say a non-gamer, but as a gateway gamer, is that what the title is? I don't play games
a novice gamer.
On my own.
A novice gamer.
I don't typically seek out games on my own. I play games because Ian plays games and he asks me to play games with him. I do enjoy games, but it just makes my perspective a little bit different. And I happen to love this game. I think that if you're really, really into like the high strategy, like player heavy games, maybe this isn't for you. Like Ian was saying, like you don't have a ton of control over what's happening and you don't get to employ a lot of strategy. But for players like me, I feel like that really takes a lot of the pressure off. Like I love Ticket to Ride. If you haven't listened to our Ticket to Ride Legacy episodes, go listen to that. I'm also on that one. I love Ticket to Ride, but I always go into it a little bit stressed because I know Ian's really good at Ticket to Ride and he's played so much more than I have. And so I know that it's going to be a little bit competitive and a little bit high intensity because I am just not as good at gaming. But with this game, it's just a little bit more chillax because there's not a whole lot of like skill or strategy involved. It's still a very involved game. It's still a very complicated game. Definitely, I wouldn't say it's for new players. I would say you need to be comfortable with the board game format. Like there's just a lot going on that you have to kind of keep up with. And you have to be patient and you have to be able to keep track of like your different cards, like the keep track of your,
there's a lot of card
your statuses
is,
and yeah. You have to remember what your skills are and what they do. So that's that. But I do think that it is accessible for people who enjoy games, who enjoy longer games. And for me, I'm a big reader. I love reading, obviously, and books. And this feels a lot more like something like that. It's just very heavy on the storytelling and it feels so immersive. Like you feel like you're on this journey, on this quest, and you're doing these things. And like I said, it feels realistic of like there's just some things that happen and you just got to roll with it and you just got to be okay with it. And I like that aspect of it. I think that's really fun. And overall, I really enjoy playing this game. And I see why some people maybe wouldn't love it so much because it is really long and complicated without a whole lot of like that gamer playoff or payoff, I should say, playoff of like, oh, I worked hard for this victory and I won. It's really just like you're playing this game for the love of having a fun experience with your,
that's all it is,
your family or your friends.
It's an experience over game.
Yeah. And I personally, again, as a sort of gateway gamer, I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an excellent,
except when I've been forced into beast form and then I want to quit. But
so we've played this game with a couple times with like other couples or something, and it's gone well if we know them like decently. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, trying to spend the evening together. It's because it's so long, you know, you're spending, even with four people, you're looking at like 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, because it does take time to like flip through the book to know where you're going. Like just the physicality of going through a turn does take a few minutes.
Right. So it can take a good amount of time. So that's the downside there. So a couple things here. This game is the Tales of Arabian Nights, Tales of the Arabian Nights board game by Z-Man Games, which is the game we're really talking about here, is no longer in print. And so I'm sorry for everybody that is listening that it's going to be really hard to find this version of the game because it's been out of print for a while. And you can find it on eBay if you really like want this version of the game. But I have good news, though, is that there is a new version that is re-implemented called Tales of the Arthurian Knights. And so this is supposed to be released. It's supposed to be released by quarter four of 2023, but that is not happening because it's quarter four of 2023 already. So it is, I think it has been postponed till 2024. So it is coming out. Now, it's the same designer, Eric Goldberg, along with Andrew Parks. And this is going to be done by WizKids. Anyway, basically, instead of Tales of the Arabian Nights, it's King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and you're going to go on adventures. And so you become a knight of some kind and go on very similar storybook adventures, and you get to choose your own adventure. It's exactly the same game, just with new updated stories and a change of theme. And there is they're changing some mechanics on some of the card system, on how the interactions work and how you like flip through the book and stuff like that. So I haven't played that version. It's not out yet, but it'll be out next year, hopefully. And so that'll be a nice way to get your hands on a copy of this game. I guess we can go into like the final review. I don't really want to give it a number. It's just because it's just not that type of game. But I will say this, and then I'll let you go. I think this game is an adventure. I think when you sit down at the table, you set everything up, and then you just let it play out. And you don't go in with any expectations. You don't go in with any preconceived notions or judgments. You just let the game happen to you and enjoy it. Enjoy the ride, because that's what it is. It's a big ride. It's a big experience. And I thoroughly enjoy it every single time I play it, even though I get imprisoned pretty frequently.
Or enslaved, or
soul sold, which is, and yeah. So, but I always enjoy it. I always enjoy watching whatever everybody else gets to do and whatever, you know, what cool stuff happens to them. You're kind of watching the whole board at the whole time. Like, you're always focused on, obviously, your own character, but I always enjoy playing and watching whatever, you know, what's happening to the other players. And that's what is an enjoyment for me. And playing games is watching other people, you know, have fun. And so that's what this game provides for me. And yeah, I don't really have a number for it just because it just does that. But what do you think? Because this is why this is one of your, I know, favorite games, but and you're the non-gamer here talking about this game. So I want to know, like, what drives you in this game? Why do you like it so much? And, you know, you can rank it if you want. You don't have to, though.
I do really love this game. I love the storytelling element of it. I know we keep repeating the same words over and over, but that's really what the heart of this game is. I just think it's fun. It reminds me of when my sisters and I were little, we shared bunk beds and we would get in each other's beds at night and tell each other stories. And it kind of just reminds me of that. Like, it reminds me of like just this kind of wild making up of like this crazy journey. And it's just is really fun. And like I said, it's really low pressure, at least to me at this point, because it's not like, I don't know, you don't have to put a lot of your brain power into it.
No.
You have to be present and you have to be like keeping track of yourself. So you have to have the posture of like playing a long game, but mentally it's like less taxing than playing a really long big board game.
It is.
Because you just kind of make random choices and you read the stuff and you laugh. And you try to get yourself out of some pickles and some jams. I would say, I think playing it again, I do kind of wish that there were more, I don't know, elements that made it feel more like a board game. If you're just not in that perfect mood where you're like, I want to sit down for 2 to 3 hours to play a board game, but I don't want to have to think about it too much. Like, this is perfect for that mood. But if you're like, I kind of wish there was more interaction between like the players, like, you're on your own quest and you do almost nothing to interact with the other people on the board unless you have like a negative, like if you're like enslaved, I get to be the master when Ian was enslaved because you have to pick someone at the table and I'm the only other person at the table. So like there's little stuff like that, but you never really get to interact with the other players. Like, you're kind of focused on your own thing. And like your journey can just end whether or not you're on a quest. Like, you can, once you get enough points, you can just be done. And I kind of think it would be more fun if like you had to like I forgot that you have to go back to Baghdad, but like I think that's a good call. But if you had to finish the quest you're on, or if you had to like, I don't know, it just is really easy for it to just be like, all right, and we're done. Like, you can end the game in the middle of a quest.
Right.
And like, I feel like there should be a little bit more involved in that. And maybe just like, yeah, like if you had a hand of cards that you had to like you could play an advantage or a disadvantage, like, I don't know, if it were a little more complicated, I wouldn't be mad at it, but I do enjoy where it's at. And like I said, it's perfect for that mood when you, like today, I'm not feeling super great and I'm not in the mood to sit down and play a really long board game, but this one I'm like, okay, I can probably do that because like I'm basically just like, what do you want to do to this creature? I'm gonna pray for him. And then it's like you just make a choice and then you just do it.
Crazy wild stuff.
Yeah, what did I do? I prayed for the I found some friendly mermen, guys. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I found some friendly mermen and I chose to pray for them. Or I guess it turned out to be pray with them.
Right.
And we prayed together, and that was it.
And you were hungry.
And I was hungry, and I ate the food with them in their myrrh person castle.
But the stories all make sense. Like, I very rarely as the stories not make sense. And they all connect in some way, even if it's like you did something totally outlandish. It's like it still comes back to be like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense.
I guess that kind of makes sense. Yeah, like I was near the sea, and I found this friendly merman, and they had some religious practices that I chose to include myself in. And it was great.
Yeah. So like at one time I like followed, it was like an odd like person or something. And I chose to follow them. And basically he was just putting his hands up while he was at sea, like the Titanic.
Oh, he's no, like putting his arms you came out. Up, you came, strange customs. That's what it was. How do you want to react to these strange customs? And it's so like, what does that even mean?
So I followed.
Yeah. So Ian just followed them.
Yeah. And he put his arms out like Titanic and
he did it too.
And I did it too. And I don't know what
and
it
nothing
did.
Nothing happened.
Yep. Nothing happened, but I followed it.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And thank so you. That's, yeah, again, it's just a big fun time, honestly.
A big fun time.
Heard it here first.
Is the scale 1 to 5 or 1 to 10?
1 to 10 normally.
I would give this game a 7.5.
Okay.
That's my rating.
That's a solid number. I mean, that's I like games that are the 7.5 range. So.
Yeah. I think there's probably a reason it went out of print. I don't think this game would be widely enjoyed by a lot of people. I think it's enjoyed by you and I because I love storytelling and you love board games, but I just can't imagine like there's not a ton of friends that I could see like loving this game. Like if we were like, hey, come over and play this game with us. Like I don't see a lot of our friends just loving this game. Mm. And so I think if what we've described sounds really cool to you, if you're really into board games and you're really into storytelling, like this could work for you, but it might not be just widely like a really popular game.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point, because I don't know what the new Arthurian version is going to add as far as, you know.
I'm excited to see what that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a look at it and see what it does, if it's going to kind of fix some of the, like I said, these little details of maybe you have a little bit more options on your, you know, to interact with other players and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's very specific. It's niche. It has a specific group that it's looking to cater to, especially the story. I think this would work with, I think if you had, you know, some maybe younger kids that can play games, I think they could totally handle this.
If they can participate in something for longer than 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm saying younger kids as in like
10 to 12.
Yeah. They're older kids that are good and they can handle a game. Because I think that story part, like,
and if they are comfortable with the word seduction, that is
right. Yeah, and beguiling.
I don't think anything naughty actually happens in any of these stories, but there is seduction is a skill that can help you in certain things. So just be aware of that as a parent or a caretaker if you're interested in playing this with younger children.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. But I do think it could work with
mature children.
Yeah, I don't know what.
What does the box say?
It's 14 plus, so
okay.
That's about right. I would say like 12 plus.
You know, honestly. Your kids.
Yeah, I think it could definitely work because it's that storytelling. Like you get to choose your own adventure, and I think kids like younger kids would be able to. They would have fun with that. It's like, oh gosh, tell me a story and let me pick the stuff. You know, it's an expansion on top of all that. So I think it would work, and it can be done. But overall, yes, it's like very niche. If it doesn't sound like something for you, then that's totally fine because we enjoy it, and I think it works really well with two people, and it works really good with 3 and 4 also, but it's just going to be a little longer. But it definitely works with 2, and that's why we love it so much. So overall, I think it's one of our favorite games to play together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. So overall, it's a great game.
We love it.
We love it. We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
Arabian Nights, like Arabian Days.
Well, so anyway, thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on this episode of this wonderful game we both love. So if you have any feedback or want to give us your thoughts about this game or anything else, we would love to hear from you. Links are on our socials and in the description of this episode. please follow us on Discord and interact with us on Discord. We're getting more and more people to talk on there, and your questions sometimes get on the podcast. Also, we just ask questions just randomly about how you feel about the pod and, you know, what games you want us to review and stuff like that. So please get active on there. Also, give us 5-star reviews on all of the streaming and podcast websites, if or whatever which one you listen to. All of these things are heroic actions and immensely helpful for growing the podcast. A special thanks to Angie Santiago for the cover art and Anna Snyder for the music.
Boop, boop.
Join us next week as Jared and I are going to review, well, it's going to be not really a review. Well, yeah, we're reviewing 2023. Not really a game, but we're reviewing the year as a whole. So thank you for joining us and look forward to that. We're going to go over a lot of things about the year and honestly what we're looking forward to for 2024, which is already here, and my mind is blown. This year has flew by. So thank you so much for joining us this year. Our first ever year as a podcast. So we thank you so much.
Got big things coming in 2024.
Yeah. So again, thank you so much, and may your own adventures in life be filled with so much story and destiny
and
as this game in wonder and beguiling and seduction.
Catch you on the flippity flip.
The flippity flop flop.